You're listening to 15 Minutes with a Mensch. I'm Bill Batstone. This episode's Mensch is Cantor Julie Newman, founder of Tiferet, a Jewish spirituality project. I was first put in touch with Julie through her husband, who is also going through the same adult bar mitzvah journey with me at Reduf Shalom. I knew that Julie was helping run meditation groups, but I wasn't quite sure what those entailed or how they were in any way connected to Jewish prayer and practice. Julie has over 20 years of experience in singing and helping lead services in a Jewish congregation, but she really found her calling with Tiferet, a project she began developing in 2017. I was able to find one of Julie's weekly meditation sessions on YouTube, and I was really amazed at how she was able to intertwine Torah, Talmud, and personal reflection and meditation into a meaningful and purposeful religious experience. I hope you enjoy my visit with Julie. There's so much to go through in this topic that what you're going to listen to in the next 15 minutes is really only the tip of the iceberg. I would encourage you to check out her website, tiferetproject.org, for upcoming events and information, as it will certainly be worthwhile. Here's my interview with our mensch for this episode, Cantor Julie Newman. All right, Julie, well, thanks for joining me on this episode. It's so great to have a chance to get to talk to you. I know we've spoken before, and I've worked closely with Bill in the Adult Bar Mitzvah group that I've referenced before in past episodes, but it's so wonderful to have you join us today.
Thanks, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
So, Julie, can you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your background? You've had quite the journey in your own life in Judaism, and then, you know, how you ended up where you are today.
Great. I grew up in a suburb of LA. I was a valley girl, and grew up in a secular Jewish home, both Jewish parents, and we never belonged to a synagogue. But we always celebrated Passover, and we didn't do Shabbat. Some years we would do Hanukkah, but Passover was the thing. And even so, my parents instilled somehow, we felt strongly that we were Jewish, whatever that meant. And then it wasn't until Bill and I were married and we had our first son, Jake, that I kind of had this moment of as if somebody lifted the veil, like, this is what we mean by divine. It's like, oh, okay. And my Presbyterian mother-in-law connected us with Rabbi Sharon Henry. We got connected to a synagogue, and it turns out we liked it. And I wanted to learn more, so I visited, had a meeting with the rabbi and who helped me with adult education, and I just never stopped with the adult education. I went on retreats, Jewish music retreats, and then finally got involved with the Institute for Jewish Spirituality, which was clergy retreats, and it was there that I decided to go to seminary. I wanted, instead of picking up a little bit here and there, which had been great for years and years, I wanted to get my education sort of in a row, in an organized way. And then I went to Hebrew College in 2011.
So, Julie, I talk a little bit about it in the intro, but you're obviously the founder and creator of Tiferet, and that's one of the topics that I think I want to really focus on in our brief time together today. Can you tell us just a little bit about Tiferet and the project and how that originally got started and what made you want to bring that element of Judaism to more people?
The first part is easy. I wanted to bring it to more people because it was what was most meaningful for me. Tiferet is about bringing contemplative Jewish practices to people, to small groups, really ideally creating small groups that will practice together. Because it's not something that you can really do on your own on an ongoing basis. You need people. And because it made the biggest difference, transformation in my own life, that's what I wanted to share with other people. And having a full-time pulpit position might not make that available to me. So I decided I'd rather do part-time cantorial work and start this nonprofit, Tiferet, which is what I did. I had, before cantorial school, I had started with an independent minion called Chavarat Shirah, which I created with Shara Taylor and Greg Siegel back when we were at Temple Ohav Shalom. And that went away while I was away at school, and we started back up when I came back. And so Tiferet is the actual nonprofit. Tiferet's the umbrella. So Tiferet is an organization that is about bringing contemplative spiritual practices grounded in Jewish wisdom for people, either Jews or seekers. And among its programs, one is Chavarat Shirah, which is a monthly independent minyan that is musically based, strongly musically based, and influenced with contemplative practice, which just means we sing a lot and there's some space in the service to hear yourself think. And the other programs would be Tiferet's twice weekly Jewish mindfulness meditation groups. There's a Sunday group and a Tuesday group. And then we've also done community concerts with the JCC. So at Passover, we have the Voices and Values concert, which is about social action, social justice. And in the winter at Hanukkah, we've had the concert Light, about bringing light into the world, which is has been an interfaith concert.
So, Julie, to that point, you know, I always try to do a little bit of research when I bring on a guest. I always try to, you know, learn a little bit more about the practice. And I was actually able to find one of the mindfulness meditation YouTube videos from last week. And so I was able to follow along and kind of get a sense for what they entailed. And what really stood out to me was how you were able to blend the Torah and the Talmud with individual reflection and providing that room for contemplation, like you mentioned. So what would you say, I mean, how does that kind of, what can that do for somebody in their own spiritual lives? And if we use the phrase kind of like, you know, when they practice Judaism or, you know, kind of live that Jewish spirituality, something like the mindfulness meditation and that room for contemplation, what can that really add or provide to somebody who might be looking for a little bit extra in their religious or spiritual life?
Great. So in our meditation, what you saw that I break the class down into three parts. And the longest we sit at one time is 15 minutes, but that's guided. So just to make it not sound so scary. And what we're doing, so mindfulness, like the definition from Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is known for secular mindfulness practice, MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction. And he says that mindfulness is paying attention in a particular way, on purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally. And the point of that is, and especially I'm saying in a religious context, is for transformation. So for us to become the open-hearted, compassionate people we want and wise people we want to be in the world. So I can't do that by just wanting to do it more. I can't do it by muscling through. What I try to do and what has worked for me is meditation that allows us to spend some time observing what my mind is actually doing, what's happening up there. The Baal Shem Tov says, "Bamakom she'adam mechashev sham hu be'emet." You are where your mind is. Wherever your thoughts are, that's where you are. So let's see where our thoughts are. And when I start to see what's going on in my mind, what are my habits of thinking, and what's making me stressed out, what's making me angry, what's making me sad, what's getting in my way of being kind, what's getting in my way of being generous or open-hearted or the person, you know, my best self. The first thing is to see what's there, what might be getting in my way. And then maybe I can see that non-judgmentally and start to hold it all less tightly, and maybe with some more compassion, so that I can be, like I said, this more open-hearted person that I want to be, which I think is what we are trying to do with prayer also. And by prayer, I'm saying the traditional prayer out of the prayer book.
Right.
I think that's what those words are trying to do for us.
So, Julia, I think, you know, whenever we talk about this type of practice, you know, and it's something that I'm really interested in, and I know, you know, some people, they hear what you're going to say, and they're going to say, that sounds amazing, and I really want to participate. And then some people are going to say that that sounds intimidating. I don't know if that's for me. It sounds kind of, you know, very in touch with my own emotions. And some people, you know, and I think we could both think of a couple in our own lives that might say, that doesn't sound like my cup of tea. But I think there's true value in it. And I think, you know, you hit on a lot of those things in terms of one's own spiritual journey and how we kind of see ourselves as individuals, and we grow ourselves, right? So what advice or what would you say to somebody who would, you'd tell them all about Tiferet and then they'd say, I don't know, that doesn't really sound like me. What kind of advice or what would you tell somebody who's maybe on the fence about trying it?
One, try it. And if you, the things that people are often worried about are like, I can't sit still for that long. And it's like, okay, so you can't sit still for that long. So you just see how that goes, and know that what we offer is guided. So that means that, you know, there's somebody to bring you back on track. And if you have to get up, you get up. If you can't do it, you can't do it. It's okay. It's not, you know, not a problem. Encourage them just to try it out. Again, like I said, we break the class into three parts. Some people leave after two parts. Stay for what you can. It is guided. And if you can't sit still, or if you know, you stay in your own window of tolerance, maybe. You stay in your own comfort zone. Nobody can check out whether you are paying attention, not paying attention. You do what you can, and you learn something from that. You'd like, you know, okay, that was working for me, or it wasn't. And it may be that this is not the contemplative practice for you right now. It wasn't for me for the longest time. I first had to do years of yoga. I needed to do a physical movement thing before I could like settle down and do this. But there are other contemplative practices. Just regular prayer and a service, singing, chanting that David does, and the, like we are going to be doing for Rising Song Circle, which I'll tell you about in a minute. There's also walking meditation, besides just sitting. So the main thing to know is you can bail out at any time. You're not stuck.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, you know, part of my hope with the podcast, and especially episodes like this and talking with people like yourselves, is that, you know, if people didn't know what kind of programming or opportunities were out there, that they hear about it and they're inspired to try it. And I think that, you know, when people try things or when they put themselves kind of in an uncomfortable position, sometimes that's where the most growth happens, right? So I think what you're doing is extremely approachable. I think it's really practical, and I think exactly how you describe it. You know, I hope people listening to this episode will give it a shot. So to that point, you know, where can people go to find more information, and you know, what kind of events or activities? You talk a little bit about the weekly items, but what else is coming down the line, and where can people find out more?
Can go to our website, teferetproject.org. Also on Facebook, it's a Chavurat Shira page, and that's Chavurat, C-H-A-V-U-R-A-T, Chavurat Shira. But the website has the most. And we are planning some programs for Elul, which should be up there in the next, probably it will show up in about 10 days from now on the website. But in addition to Jewish mindfulness meditation, we're going to be starting a Tiferet Rising Song Circle, which is going to be chant, nigun, singing, group singing, but with some study content too. No prior knowledge, skill, musical quality, any of that required. It's just an opportunity for us to get back together and sing some nigunim together. And in addition to that, in Elul, I'm also going to be starting Tiferet yoga as an Elul practice. I'm finishing up my first 200-hour yoga teacher training, and this will be the final project of that.
Wonderful.
So for Cheshbon HaNefesh, of like preparing ourselves to go into the season of the high holidays, just our little internal checkout, we're going to be doing that through yoga.
Well, you had me as soon as you said there was no musical talent or ability required. And then I'm sure with yoga, no flexibility necessarily required either.
No.
So perfect. Yeah. Right up my alley.
Or strength.
Perfect. Well, Julie, I will link the both the website and the Facebook page in the description of this episode. So hopefully people will go check that out. And we really appreciate your time. Thanks for visiting with me. And perhaps, you know, after a couple weeks, we can check back in. If there's more programming or more opportunities, you're always welcome back.
That'd be great.
Great.
No, I think this is great what you're doing.
Thanks, Julie. I appreciate it. And we look forward to visiting again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the service you guys are leading.
Yeah, it will be quite something. We'll do an episode when we get closer to that for sure. So,
okay.
Thanks. Fifteen Minutes with a Mensch is a podcast supported by the Prayer, Practice, and Learning Committee of Deaf Shalom Congregation in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. For more information on upcoming events or how you can get involved, visit our website at www.rodefshalom.org. I'm Bill Battistone.